start spreading the news. We've got Robert Davi in studio right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hi, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to Mini Spotlight. I'm your host, Amy Cassandra Martinez, and I am joined by Robert Davi. Hi.
Hi, Amy. How are you? Hi, guys. How you doing? So it's a mini spotlight.
It's a mini spotlight, mini. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a mini spotlight. We'll keep it short, sweet, but we'll really dive in. Now, I have to start off this interview by telling you that Frank Sinatra is my favorite singer of all time.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, very
good. Which I think more people should definitely be listening to Frank Sinatra, but we're gonna start from the beginning.
Right.
Tell us about your connection with Old Blue Eyes.
Well, I did my first film with Frank Sinatra in 1977. I was a kid back then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but before that, I think, in my growing from an Italian immigrant family, you know, you listen to Sinatra in utero, which means in the womb, for
yeah.
those of you that don't know what in utero means. So, you know, your first, because music was a big thing in the family, and
mm-hmm.
So there was something also, me growing up listening to his music, as well as loving opera,
mm-hmm.
because he had a very distinct voice in terms of his training was bel canto, which was a certain style of Italian singing based on the bel canto opera singers of the time. And he was the first one to put those techniques to popular music, which gave a certain depth of intonation, of phrasing, and of tone that the popular singers of the day, which were called crooners, didn't have.
Yeah.
So he was the first real singer.
And honestly, just listening to his voice just puts you in a whole kind of mood and a state
mm-hmm.
that you can kind of transport yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us about the first time that you did meet him.
Well, the first time I met him. Have you listened to my album yet? Did you know my album went to number 6 on Billboard Jazz?
Number 6, guys?
Did you
know that? That's crazy. No.
Davi sings Sinatra on the Road to Romance.
Ah.
Yeah, you didn't even hear that.
No. We're learning so much already.
That wasn't even, I mean, the buzz. So we didn't really, all right, I'm going to show you something here. Let me find where this is now. So the first time I met Sinatra was at the audition for Cherry Street.
Mm-hmm.
This was in 1977. And they told me that it was all cast, and I said, well, where's the office for production? And
mm-hmm.
they told me, the agent at the time told me it was on Fifth Avenue. And I went up to that production office, and the rest is history. I did my first thing with Sinatra.
See, and that's what I love. Like, you made it happen.
Yeah, I went up there, and I think you have to be proactive in life.
I completely agree.
You know,
agree.
Make your own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you wait for somebody to hand it to you, it ain't gonna happen. I mean, you may be lucky, but I think really, you know, preparing yourself for what you have to do. And that's what I did. I went to school, acting school, you know,
mm-hmm.
went to the Actors Studio, studied with Stella Adler, did all my work. And, you know, here.
Stole a piece, guys.
This is, so you've never heard this.
Because mm-hmm.
it would be a nice bumper thing. So you hear.
I've got the world
Guys.
On a string, sitting on a rainbow, got that string around.
You can get that on Amazon and iTunes.
I love
what a world.
Oh.
What a life.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so,
my heart is melting right now.
So I'm surprised you hadn't heard it, because Quincy Jones calls me, I don't want to have to do it myself, but you should see the...
Exactly.
Get the Quincy Jones quote after he took 17 people to come see me perform live. And I think you should see that.
Now, what is your most favorite part about singing and having that
the quality? Audience, being able to sing between, you know, to 15,000 people, 5,000 or 500
mm-hmm.
or 100. The communication, the live communication with the audience, and also, you know me from a lot of films, Goonies, Bond, Die Hard, Showgirls, Expendables, I'm doing a new TV series now called Paper Empire. So, I mean, there's a lot of things people know me from, playing an edgy guy,
mm-hmm.
which I have a bit of that edge, in spades. So, music, I'm a romantic at heart, and the music lets me express that part of myself,
mm-hmm.
and especially to an audience. So you take an audience on a certain, journey, an emotional journey, because the Great American Songbook, of which is what I sing, mm-hmm. Sinatra didn't write these songs. He's an interpreter like Tony Bennett was, or Michael Bublé, and mm-hmm. Harry Connick, and some other guys. But what he did do was interpret these, and also the commonality with myself and the performance aspect is I always call Sinatra the first method singer, because he was able to communicate his personal life in the song. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the highest art. And when you do that, you connect to an audience. So it's that connection, that communion with the audience. And again, the Great American Songbook, if you don't know what that is, it's the Shakespeare of America. It should be taught in schools.
I agree.
Because it's the amalgam of the American experience, of the black jazz and jump blues artists, mm-hmm. the Irish, Welsh, Scottish, German, Lebanese, Hispanic, Norwegian, Swedish, who have been here since the Revolutionary War, and a large portion from the sons and daughters of Jewish immigrants. So this amalgam, and I travel the world singing. I don't know if mm-hmm. you know that.
I
travel the world doing these concerts. And they, because it has this amalgam, it translates all over the world. Mm-hmm. And it's quite unique to meet different people from different parts of the world and have them respond in such an emotional way to the music.
Well, and that's exactly like what you're doing with Davi's Way. Can you explain a little bit more yeah. to the audience?
Well, Davi's Way is kind of like the brainchild of Danny A. Mm-hmm. And was a friend. We did the Iceman together, became friends on that. And I wrote a script called The Voice about this guy that wanted to do something with music. And Danny read it and said, you know what, I want to do this. Let's do a documentary on you. Following him around for a year or two, and I wanted to recreate the main event. Mm-hmm. The main event was a concert Sinatra did. It was a really landmark concert he did in 1974 at Madison Square Garden. And I remembered that, and for his 100th anniversary, I wanted to kind of recreate that experience in Madison Square Garden in a boxing ring. And you have to watch the film and see what happens. So it's that journey, and it's very funny. It's like a cross between the documentary. Mm-hmm. It's a cross between Curb Your Enthusiasm and Spinal Tap. I didn't want it to be sanitized.
Right.
I didn't want to kind of present a celebrity facade. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to, you know, I could easily have done that. I protected my own image.
Yeah.
That's why it was interesting for you to see the film, mm-hmm. because it has that rawness to it. And I think the kids, I know people, you know, there are people that are huge fans of the film, I won't mention their names, that have seen it. But it's because of that honesty and the unfettered rawness mm-hmm. of me, you know, letting you peek in to a process. So it's quite well done.
Now, is there anything that you learned about yourself during that whole process of making the documentary and doing all of it that you didn't know about yourself before?
I think, you know, you find, you know, every day you can find out something about yourself. You know, there's always something you can mine. And I think, you know,
It's hard.
You say to yourself, what did I find about myself? Mm-hmm. Or discover about myself? Mm-hmm. You know, I've always known I've had part great person and part asshole. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's all there. The gamut of who I am is there. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, it's what I expressed. Maybe what the audience doesn't know. Mm-hmm. So that to me is more, because you live with yourself. So you kind of know all your facets. You know, maybe they don't know I have five kids,
exactly.
Stuff like that. So the interaction between me and my daughter as well, and the kids. So there's a lot of very interesting dynamics going on in it. And no, just me being, having the courage to expose that. That's what I think more is mm-hmm. important, you know.
And I think sometimes, especially now with social media, that we feel such a wall that we have to put up, you know, and not be, like you said, raw. Mm-hmm. Just be ourselves. And I think that's what people really, really appreciate.
Yeah.
Now moving forward after, I mean, this is over, but it is going to be out, you said, in August.
Yes, end of mm-hmm. August, August 18th. Mm-hmm. And it'll be in all, you know, different media platforms by the end of August. It's being at the Cinema Village in New York.
Nice.
And so it'll have a it's fun to see with an audience. We've been at the East Hampton Film Fest, several different festivals, and the response has been tremendous, and we've won a couple of awards. And to see it with an audience is a lot of fun. I mean, it's because the laughter is infectious after a while.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I would imagine also, I mean, besides seeing it everywhere, but like having it in New York, there's a certain special something that happens, you know, to be in that city, to be listening to that music. Is there something that, that for you, you just get really choked up sometimes?
Well, you know, I get that emotions happen all the time. I can be in the middle of a concert and be singing a song and then looking at someone and something will communicate or echo, and you get emotional. Mm-hmm. You get emotional from the reaction that the audience gets to it, to the appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I did a concert in Estonia. Now, who thought of, you know, who, do people know where Estonia is? Well, it's near Finland.
Mm-hmm.
But I had 5,000 people in an arena and a 12-minute standing ovation. I mean, and that happened in Budapest and Sweden and Latvia, Australia. So to feel that kind of outpouring of appreciation, and in New York, 15,000 people, is quite emotional, and especially with the music. You don't get it so much with film. You get it walking through the airport. Hey, I'm a fan of Goonies or Die Hard or Bond.
True.
Or whatever it is. You get a lot of people say thank you for your work over the years. But with the music, it's an immediate connection, immediate appreciation.
Now, where are you hoping to go next? Like, what are you hoping to do?
In terms of what? Well, do another album.
Do another one?
Oh, yeah. I have another album in the works. I'm working with David Thomas from Take Six. Some different takes. I'm working with another group of amazing revolutionary cellists out of Europe. And putting some of that stuff to that kind of a thing. And so there's a lot of different stretching the envelope and staying within that. Also bringing some of the modern songs interpret in a kind of a different way, or a way I would perhaps do it, not normally where you would expect it to be, you know. And also film, you know, also more film.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a film in the Bronx called Mott Haven, which is a really very urban, gritty piece. In the toughest area of the Bronx, but wonderful people there, you know, character that's living in a SRO building and living, you know, staying in the park, basically, and then having this tribal experience with, it's a very interesting picture. And then the Paper Empire TV series that we're shooting right now in South Beach and Cuba and some other places.
Heck, your life sounds really exciting, and I'm really, you know, excited for people to be able to listen to you, to watch you, and to really learn a lot about Frank Sinatra. And
well, the Great American Songbook, like I said, is the Shakespeare of America. Mm-hmm. It came at a time, it brought us together as a nation. And I think right now, one of the reasons why in 2011 I wanted to do the album, which was called On the Road to Romance,
mm-hmm.
was to, because I knew the divisiveness of our country, and you can have so many different opinions, but we have to be heard and respected.
Agreed.
You know, we have to be heard and respected, and I felt that the discourse that we found, the intolerance,
mm-hmm.
and the that was fearful, you know. And again, this music was something that united America and made the world fall in love with our country, and I wanted to bring that message. There's a message in the ravioli, which is what Sinatra did. He was the first singer to come out against anti-Semitism and racial bigotry of any kind. And that, to me, was a very important, as an Italian,
mm-hmm.
American, you know, in 1906, the New York Times said the Italian was dirtier and lower than the Negro. So the Italian community understood prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Much like any other immigrant population that comes into a country new, and they're the aliens, you know what I mean? So it was to give a, to not become victims,
mm-hmm.
but to rise out of our own understanding of where we can go in life. And and this music has a positive image, you know, has a positive message.
The obsession with Frank Sinatra is real, and I wish we could keep on talking with you, but I'm so excited, like I said, to really delve deep into everything that you've, you know, shown us. But if you could just tell everyone where they can find you on social media so they can support you.
Yes, come on to my Instagram is at Robert Davi. The Twitter is at Robert John Davi. Facebook is Robert Davi, and there's a couple of other things. I have a website, Davi Sings Sinatra, and among other things, that has the film stuff and current affairs. And there's a couple of different things on Facebook. One is Robert Davi, and then there's another one, I don't know. Just check it out.
Of course. And thank you guys so much for watching. I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez, and you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. See you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other AfterBuzz.